And I think we forget this sometimes because we get so churched and so wrapped up and kind of like always been in church and reading the Bible and all that kind of stuff. We forget that we were created perfect and we chose to go against God. We just literally chose to say, fully with God's commands, I'll do what I want. Adam did that first. Because of that, we were all born with a sinful nature, a nature that just headed that way. And if he wouldn't have done it, we would have done it, all right? And we've chosen to go against God. We've chosen to walk our own way. But God loved us so much that he became a man. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is God, who is the Holy Spirit. He became a man, and he offered himself as a sacrifice for all the garbage that I've done. And he offers it, and he says, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Just a simple belief, and we don't have to work for it. Who would have ever figured God would have done that? God being who he is and as holy as he is, that he would have taken our sin and taken our place. It's just amazing. I love that song. And it just reminds me that I'm not really worthy of what I've done. But that gives us a really cool story to be able to tell. Every single one of us, like Sherry did, we've got a story if we know Christ is our Savior. This is the way I was. I sinned. I sinned even before I knew I was a sinner. And when I knew I was a sinner, I still sinned, you know. But God loved me so much that he gave me, he offered me eternal life. And he offers that to each person. He died enough that every person can come to know Christ. He died for the sins of the world. It's really cool. And so that's why when we get into Acts and we're following Peter through Acts, we're not really going through Acts, but we're following Peter through his life in Acts. One of the cool things we find Peter now, he's arrested. Him and John are arrested. And they're on trial for, you know, for teaching. And that's what we talked about last week, for preaching in the name of Jesus. And I love this. It's still my favorite verse. I've got to review. I've got to go over it again because it makes me feel good to say it again. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13. He's on trial by the same people that killed Jesus. They bring him in trial. He tells them, he just shares his story with them. He said, this is what I saw. I lived with Jesus, and I saw that he did this and that and the other thing. I saw that you crucified him. I saw that he died. I saw that he rose again. And this is Peter the little fisherman. He's standing before these major educated, you know, pompous priest kind of people. And in Acts 4:13, he says, they sent him out of the room, and they talked together when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. I just think that's great because that gives me hope, all right? Because I kind of look at myself like an unschooled, ordinary man. I've had some school, but I don't think I'm... God just uses people. It's not how much education you have. It's not you don't have too much or not enough. Education's great. It's not about what you do for a living. It's not about how much you have in your money. It's not how much you have in your portfolio. It's not about anything. It's about they've been with Jesus. And that's one of the things that we do in church. We're kind of with Jesus, although it's not exclusively here. You need to take time to be with Jesus in your quiet time and those kind of things. But they just took note there's something about these guys that's different. They can tell that they had a relationship with God himself. There was something different in their life because they were bold, okay? And it says they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Astonished, that's a pretty good word. Were you ever astonished? What's an astonished look? No, it's not the, I can't believe you did that, I'm astonished. No, it's like, you know, why were they surprised that people had been with Jesus? When they saw these, it says, doesn't everybody that knows Christ, aren't they bold? Doesn't God speak through everybody? Aren't they bold? I think there's a lot of people that day, and I think there's a lot of people today, they're kind of like posers, okay? Do you remember posers? Do they still use that word, posers? They did way back when I was in school, all right? Someone who just posed as being like a fake Christian. I think there's a lot of people that go to church that are just posers in a lot of churches in America. That they're not really, they haven't really changed on the inside. Well, maybe they have a little bit, but they still look like everybody else, except for on Sunday morning we go to church. I think that people are used to fake Christians. This world is so used to fake Christians, that's why they make fun of them so much. We're used to pastors failing, we're used to people failing, and a lot of you guys are here in the church because you were hurt in some other church by people that let you down, and some people are going to be hurt in this church by people that let them down. I think they were astonished when they saw these guys. It's like, wow, they really believe what they're saying. They're not just saying it and singing the song. They literally believe it. Do you ever run into anybody that just stood out in your mind that, wow, they really believe this stuff, don't they? You know, it's like, whoa. I see people like that every once in a while. It's like, that's awesome. But I think sometimes there's so many posers in this world that these guys were astonished. They just looked like Jesus. They just remind the boldness, the courage, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, that they were going to stand up there willing to die. Anyway, we talked about that. So anyway, do you know that, and this is an old statement, you're the only Jesus some people will ever see? You know what? And you might not be the only Jesus, but you're one of the Jesus that people are going to see. You're the only Jesus that some people, when you go to work, you might be the only Jesus that those people that work around you see, except if you work for yourself in the basement, all right? But, you know, you might be the only Jesus that some people in your neighborhood see, because there's not a lot of people that remind people of Jesus anymore. If I had to ask you, how many people do you know that remind you of Jesus, could you come up with a list? You know, a list that would fit on two hands. There's not a whole lot of people like that anymore. Hopefully a lot of us are getting there, but you may be the only Jesus that some people ever see. And 2 Corinthians 5:20 talks about that. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are the ambassadors. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, be right with God. That's what be reconciled just means, be right with God. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You know, when you go to work Monday morning, you are showing people what Jesus Christ looks like. So drink a lot of coffee before you get there, okay? Get cleaned up, you know. But you're the only, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You're also an ambassador of Pine Grove Community Church, and people will judge this church on what they see in you. But even more important than that, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Your language represents God. The way you handle emotions and frustrations and anger represent God. Without a doubt, you're an ambassador of Jesus Christ in your car with your children. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ when you come home from work after you've had a hard day. You're an ambassador to your children. I was not a good ambassador someday, okay? Some days. But we represent Jesus Christ. It's cool that Peter and John, at this point, not always, but at this point, they represented Jesus Christ well. But just, I want you to understand that you are an ambassador of Christ, whether you're a good ambassador, a bad ambassador, a mediocre ambassador. You are, people are watching your life. Especially if you verbally let them know you go to church or you attend church or you're a Christian or something like that. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And they're watching how you handle frustrations. I think that's sometimes why God allows us to get sick and have some diseases and different things like that. You know, Kathy Kurtz is having some struggles with that. She is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And so many people said, she is, the way she's handling this is incredible. All right? Rick was that way before he died, you know? I mean, if you watch some people that are ambassadors of Christ, it's like, you got to be kidding me. That's what I want to be like someday. That's what I think Jesus would be like. And Kathy, it's so cool to watch some of these people. But we're Christ's ambassadors. Anyway, we already talked about that. So we've got Acts 4, which we've already talked about. When they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, that's the problem. They were speaking in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we can't help speaking about what we've seen and heard. Now, just let me pause that a minute. They can't help speaking about what? What did it say? About what they've seen and what they've heard. How many of you guys have ever told somebody something you saw or heard? Well, I got to think about that. Everybody's like, I don't know. Maybe that's too easy of a question, all right? You don't have to, when someone say, so, you know, you saw something, you saw an accident on the way home from work, or you saw something like really cool or something, and you know, I've heard the big explosions 2 weeks ago up at Circle K camp or something. You don't have any problem telling people about that, right? See, we can tell easily what we've seen and heard. And this is all your story is. Sherry shared her story. This is who I am. This is what I did. I went away from God, came back to God, came to Pine Grove Church, and God's using me here. And I'm baking stuff and everything like that. God's using me. That's just what you've seen here. It's what you experienced. This is all Peter and John were saying. They weren't preaching a message. They weren't writing an epistle here. They were just sharing what they've seen and heard. This is your story. This is why it's so important. And we're going over this in men's Bible study, how important your story is. Because it just comes out. You don't have to think theologically. You just say, this is where I was before Christ. This is how I came to know Christ. This is what God's doing in my life now. just, they said, we can't help sharing what we've seen and heard. I think they thought it was good news. You know, I think they kind of, maybe they were misguided and thought it's good news what God did in your life. And so maybe I should share that, you know. I'm just being a little facetious there. It's good news. And we need to be willing to share that and be ready to share that. Be ready to share it in a one-minute segment, a two-minute segment, a 10-minute segment. And if you go much longer than that, you're a preacher. All right. But you really just be ready to share that. They said, we can't help it. We can't help sharing it. So that's where we were. Now, the church's prayer. We read the church's prayer coming up in Acts 4. In Acts 4, here's their prayer. Acts 4, 23 to 24. On the release, Peter and John went back to their own people. That was their Christian fellowship. Back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and elders said to them. When they heard this, when the church heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and earth and the sea and everything in them. This is, when's the last time you were ever in a place that experienced this kind of thing, all right? They come back, said, we're being persecuted, we're, you know, everybody's against us and all kinds of stuff. And they come back to the church, and they said, well, the church, they say we can't teach anymore. The law literally said, you can't teach in Jesus' name anymore. And they let them go this time without killing them, which was good. But on the release, they come back to the church. The church went to their knees, or I don't know if they went to their knees, it doesn't say they did, but so to speak. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and earth and sea and everything in them. The following verses, they're just reminding themselves of who God is, all right? And we got to do that sometimes. When we're faced with that pain or those trials, we need to remind ourselves who God is. Because it does good to look back into Psalms. It does good to look throughout the Bible. It does good to remember some of the songs that we sing and say, we serve a faithful God, an ever-present God, a God that cares for us. And it's good for us to remind ourselves. And that's what they were doing. They were just going back over the things they knew. This is who God is. Now, and they ended it in Acts 4, 29 to 50. I love this. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. That is such a cool thing. Now, Lord, consider their threats. And I don't think they were like, oh, we're being threatened. We might be persecuted. I can't wait. That'll be so much fun to be persecuted. Maybe they'll feed us to a lion, you know? Maybe they'll put us in with a gladiator and use us for target practice. It'll be so fun. I don't think they're like dumb people, all right? They're seriously facing some persecution. And they said, the first thing they did, now God, consider their threats. Okay? They didn't just flippantly blow off. There were threats to their lives. There were threats to their business. There were threats to their everything they had. And they stopped and thought. First, they reminded themselves who God was. And then they thought, now, we're in some serious situations right now. It wasn't like, oh, they're threatening us. Let's go out and preach. No. They stopped and considered the threats. They killed Jesus. They're threatening the disciples. They're going to kill them coming up pretty soon. Persecution's going to start, and we've got a decision to make. Are we in or out? Do we really believe this stuff, or are we just posers? And it's funny, that just seems to be, the last time I preached this a long time ago, it didn't seem as real as it is getting to be today. Okay? I know people have been saying that for years, all right? Just seems like it. You got to really consider, am I in or out? Because you know, if you're really in, if you're going to speak boldly for Christ and share your story, not preach, but just share your story, people are going to put you down. You might not gain the advancement in your job. You might lose some friends. You might be made fun of. And I think it's important for us as Christ followers to consider the threats. We're in a hostile territory here. Not everybody's hostile towards us at this point, but it's becoming more and more that way. We're again in hostile territory. I love their prayer. It's so real. Lord, consider their threats. And you enable us. I like it. They decide they're in. You enable us to speak your word boldly. You enable us. It's kind of like, you know, God, we're scared. But we recognize that you are alive. You're living inside of us. And when I go to speak, my mouth goes, you know. It's like in my brain goes, scramble, scramble, scramble. Doesn't that sound like your brain sometimes? Oh, I get that way sometimes. I think I should share Christ, and I start, and it just, everything boggles itself up. I have to say, God, you enabled me to speak. I want to do it. I am in, but I can't. And I think that's exactly what God says. Great. Just let me use your mouth. Let me speak through you. You just talk about what you've seen and heard. You can all do that. You don't get mixed up about that, especially if you practice ahead of time. Write it down. Get a practice. You won't get mixed up. You just speak about what you've seen and heard, and I will enable those words. I will add my Holy Spirit to those words, and I will make an impact in the people's lives. It may not seem like it to you, but I will make an impact with this. And what they did, I think they thought biblically through the situation. I'm scared. There's threats on us. But you are alive and living inside of me. And use your Holy Spirit. They thought biblically through this. They didn't think, I got to do it on my own. And oh, I'm so scared. And what if I lose this? And what if I lose that? They said, God, I'm all in, but I'm scared. I'm all in, but I don't know what to say. You, please, you enable me. You be the power behind what comes out of my mouth. It's kind of like that WWJD, what would Jesus do? I didn't really like the WWJD because it leaves it too much to your imagination. What would Jesus do? I don't know. And so every church in the world is going to say, well, I think he would have done this, and I think he would have done that. I like the WWDJD, what did Jesus do? Or what did Jesus say? And you look at what God says in his word. You look at truth, not what would he do according to your imagination, but what did he do? And we're called to live our lives according to what he did and what he said, but I can't do it on my own because it's very difficult. What would Jesus do? And he said, you enable us to speak with great boldness. They really asked. They didn't say, you know, protect us from persecution. Please don't let bad things happen to us. Give us a nice day. Help all my needs to be met and help my children to be beautiful. Some of you, that's beyond hope. I'm just kidding. You have beautiful children here. I saw them at the retreat. I see what they look like first thing in the morning when they walk out of their cabin, all right? But, you know, our prayers are so shallow and so us, and help everyone to go fine for me and help me to, you know, better roses in my life, take away all my problems. And that's not what they were praying. And it's like, you know, I think that's what we pray when we're just kind of drifting along sometimes and come to my house and you'll hear a lot of those prayers, okay, from me. Sometimes I sit at a dinner table and I think, I got to pray differently today, you know. I got to pray for something that really matters. And it feels different when you pray for something that really matters instead of help us have a nice day. And, you know, it's like, anyway, think biblically through this situation. God, you enable us to speak your words with great boldness. And the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know what? You can share your story with great boldness through Christ who gives you strength. You will be nervous. You will be a little bit afraid. Plan it ahead of time. Get a kind of pattern and make it shorter, make it longer, or whatever. But just about what you've seen and heard. Just about what God... Do you have to be perfect before you tell what God did for you? No. It'd be nice. But you're not going to do that, okay? But just what God did for me. Just a cool thing. And you know what's interesting? They did it. That's what's really cool. I like about these guys. They went out and did it, okay? It's our bodies in my mouth with your words and your spirit, okay? Here's my body. I offer my body a living sacrifice to God, a temple of God. God, it's my body and my mouth, but the power comes through your spirit and your words, okay? And I think that's really cool. And they did it. They did it. In Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly, okay? They weren't just hearers. They weren't just nice prayers. Their prayers were recognizing God's truths and then trusting him to do it through them. Their prayers were amazing prayers. God, we recognize who you are. We understand your truths. We sing them in songs. We read them in your word. We memorize them when we're younger and when we're older. I recognize your truths, okay? I believe your truths. Now I'm going to step out and apply them, okay? That's the difference between a hearer and just a doer. A hear it and a do it. That's what God asked us to do. And so they stepped out. They trusted God. Full confidence to step out, even though they were scared to do that. And you're going to be in those situations when you're scared to do that. When you're asked to pray at the family reunion or something like that, or whatever the thing is that God has you do. Now, that's the way the church prayed. And wow, isn't this a big coincidence? Listen to what the church was like, okay? Big coincidence. Acts 4:32-35, all right? And you wouldn't have never figured this. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Isn't that cool? How many churches have you ever been in where all the believers were one heart and one mind, you know? That's why you're here, because you think we all are. I think we are, you know? Thanks for being here. But you know what? How many times, even in families, they're not all one. But they went to a church, and because they prayed like this, because they were looking at big things like, we have lost people in our world, and we've got to get out of our comfort zone, and we are called to seek and to save the lost the same as Jesus. They were so focused on big stuff, they didn't have to worry about what color the chairs were, and what color the carpet was, and what the pews were like, and whether they were pews or non-pews. Pew, that's a dumb word anyway. All right. They were so focused on such important stuff that they were all together in saying, we need to make a difference in our world. And that's where a lot of churches, they just get so focused on petty things, we forget what's happening out there in the world. And I love what this church, because of that, all the believers were one in heart and mind. And then listen to what it says. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. That's an interesting church right there. Now, at first, it's okay, they're all one heart and mind. They were speaking boldly, and the people that had money, sometimes they'd sell houses and land, give to the apostles, and nobody in the church was in need. That's an interesting thing. And all of a sudden, if you think you're in need, you're thinking, hey, I got to find one of them churches, all right? But listen to what it's saying. It's not saying that this was a commune, okay? It's not saying that this was socialism, all right? It wasn't a welfare state church that just because you exist, you have money. And sometimes a lot of people look at that and think, oh man, what a church that would take care of all the needs that I have, all right? Churches don't, they weren't taking care of all the wants of the people. They weren't taking care of, hey, let's just all sell everything, put it in one big pot, and here, you get this, you get a hundredth of it, you get a hundredth of it, you get a hundredth of it. It's not what they were doing. And I improved that in 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 to 13. Just this is a little rabbit trail, just so we don't think that God expects us to sell everything we have, everybody to sell everything we have and give it to poor people, all right, or people that feel they're in need. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 to 13, this is a hard teaching. Paul says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, no one who is unwilling to work shall, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. That's a rule that the Bible puts forward. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are busybodies. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we commanded and urged in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what's right. This was not a welfare state church that they would just give money to everybody, just pitched in and gave money to poor. The Bible is very clear that we should be busy. We should work, but even when someone's busy and works, sometimes they still have needs. We have people in our church that things happen to them, and it's like, wow, I've been off of work for so long, and the church, you know, sometimes they're bold enough to come to the church, which is really good. I think we ought to go to family first, but after that, we're the family, come to the church and say, I have these needs. I have a small need right now. And at that point, I think if that person is working, they're doing the best they can, they're not lazy people, they're literally following the biblical mandates for what they need to do. If they can't make ends meet, then it's up to us as a church to help them along. And that's what was happening in this church. It doesn't say everybody sold their place. From time to time, someone would sell this. Not everybody that owns something has to sell. From time to time, this person would sell and that person would sell. And they would bring that offering. That wasn't their tithe. They would bring that offering to the apostles' feet, and they would lay it there. And it was distributed to anyone that had need. Not anyone that wanted it, or anyone that wanted a bigger cell phone plan, or anybody that sat around and watched, you know, movies all day and just didn't feel like working. No, to people that had need. And we have so many people in our community that think the church is like a handout, okay? I get those phone calls all the time. We'll always help someone the first time, okay? And if we need to help them a second time or two, then we do some financial counseling and stuff. And most of the time, they don't ever come back for that because they're just, And it's a really cool position to be in, to be able to help people like that. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4, they were one in heart and mind. Okay, they went to seek and to save the lost. They want to take the good news to the world. But the cool thing about the church, when they were seeking lost, the church did something else. It was like, I would call it the church of the open hands, okay? They had possessions. It's not wrong to have possessions. It's not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong to have retirement, okay? But also at the same time, the Bible expects us to have open hands, to not take what God's given us, the blessings God's given us, and say, ha-ha, I got it right here. You know, and if you want to, if the church needs money, they got to pry it out of your fingers. And if someone is in need, we say, well, I don't know, you know, I gotta save this because this is my retirement. And I know, God, that this person is in need and they've come to my door. They don't have food and clothing and these missionaries are going out there. And, oh, you guys are supporting missionaries so well. It's so cool. Got some good news on that later. But, you know, we just hold on to stuff like this. We got to have our houses, and we got to have this, and we got to have that, and we got to have all kinds of stuff. And when you're ready to give, you know, we got this mortgage and that mortgage, and sometimes I have to pry open our fingers to pay to give someone $10 to help them out with their groceries or something like that. Well, this was like the church of the open door, the open hands, because they knew that the main thing in life was people coming to know Christ, and they loved each other as a group, and they wanted to help each other out. And they were like, they just were held loosely to stuff. And that's something we in America need to train ourselves to do, to hold loosely to things. Things are something, things and stuff and money God gives us to use for His kingdom. Not to bury, not to hide away, but to hold on. When you do that, it's going to be taken away from you. There's parables in the Bible about that. God asks us to hold loosely to these things. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Really cool. See, they had the kind of idea in their church that everything I have, all that I am, and all that I have comes from God. They worked for it just like you do. They might even worked harder than some of us. But they worked hard for this stuff. But they had the attitude, and they understood that everything they are, because without Christ, they would be nothing. Without Christ, they would be lost. Everything I have, everything I am, and everything I have comes from the Lord. 2 Corinthians, remember this. Whoever, and this is a powerful verse. Whoever sows sparingly. What's sowing mean? Whoever sows sparingly. Skip stitches? Just do one stitch instead? I don't even know anything about stitching. All right. What's it mean, sowing? Whoever gives. Whoever gives. Okay, kind of like throwing seeds out of water. Whoever gives sparingly. Can I say this is true? And I'm telling you what, I'm not saying this. Don't think I'm trying to get money, okay? Because I'll tell you in a little bit what God's doing with this church. It's so cool. But I said that before, didn't I? Because I'm like so excited. It's just in the back of my mind, just waiting to burst forth. And whoever sows sparingly, whoever gives sparingly, reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Isn't that an interesting thing? You know, we always think that, well, I can give this much, or I can only give this much. And, well, you know, you open up your wallet. I've done that before, you know. Someone has a need, and I open up my wallet, and I see a 20 and a 10 and a 5 and a 1 in there. And it's like, you know, the first thing that opens up is a 20. No, that's too much. You know, a 5 maybe, because I've learned to be a little bit more generous than, you know. But whoever sows sparingly. Now, where am I quoting this from? The Bible. What is the Bible? Is it absolute truth? Does God lie? Okay, then we probably would be do well to believe this, wouldn't you think? Okay? Now this is, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. That's why I don't want you to give if you don't want to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And this is what I think is cool about this church. They learned that. They held loosely to their stuff. They were one in heart and mind in the vision that they had for why God has them on earth and why God had the church in there. And then they held loosely to the stuff. And they would sell it and give it to them. All I am, all I have is yours. Okay, you know what's interesting? Let me just tell you, Have you ever been a part of a church like that? Let me tell you something. This church is so cool, and becoming part of a church like that. I told you, and I'm going to take a little break here and go into some business for a minute, but I got a whole other stuff to talk about. But this is so cool. And God has been really, really blessed this church. And I really see a lot of people in this church as a whole. I guess every pastor might feel the church is decent, all right? But you guys are, all right? But every church, we seem to be keeping the vision. Because I see you guys reaching out to people. I see you bringing people in that are searching, that don't know. I see people come in here that shouldn't fit in at most churches sometimes. Remember Bruce? Some of you guys remember Bruce? Anybody ever hear Bruce? Anybody see Bruce? Have you seen him lately? Anybody? I just haven't seen him. I miss him. But he fit in here. He never would have fit in at any church. Well, there have been some churches, but he just didn't fit in. God brings people into this church, and you're bringing people into this church because we have a vision for reaching lost people, for being a welcoming church. I love that. And if you're not a welcoming person, get so. Okay? Just get out of your ridiculous, embarrassed stage and just go out and get embarrassed and meet people, you know, when they come into church. Be a seeker-friendly church because you're friendly to them. I will promise we'll teach the Word of God boldly. I won't cut corners on it, but you're going to see God do really cool things. But we also have a policy in this church. The elders that you guys have voted on did a great job. We got out of debt in 5 years, okay? Both buildings paid off, all the renovations paid off, and they also made another policy, the elders did, that every month at elders meeting, everything over $50,000, we consider blessing money, okay? We don't have a name for it, but God give it to us, not so we can have a bigger church bank account, not so we can plan for the future, because the church shouldn't have a retirement program, okay? But what God's given us, and you guys keep giving and giving, and every month we have over $50,000 in there. And so last month, and I haven't told you this, well, I told you some of the things we did it before, but just last month in May at the elders meeting, we gave our... We helped This Little Light Ministry out again. I know, you know, you guys bought them that generator and stuff like that, but they had a huge need of having a guidance counselor for the Christian school because those kids don't have parents. A lot of them only have one parent, just really, and they really felt like God needed them to have a godly guidance counselor. And we paid his entire salary for the next year, $4,500. Ha! Anybody want to go to work in the school system down there? $4,500, because we had $4,500 left over above the $50,000, and there was a need that God brought. And so you guys paid an entire salary for a year of a Christian guidance counselor to take these kids that have nobody. But we still had more than that left over. And remember last week, Stephen and Allie Merrick shared their testimony? And was it Allie that said that Long Island is probably the most under... dark, under... what's the word? I don't know what she used, but... there's not a whole lot of Christian testimony there, not as much as some other places in the world. Well, that last month in May, remember the guy that started up Church of the Accordion? You know, Safwat, I guess his name. He was planning an Arabic Bible church, or he was planning a Bible church in Long Island, okay? And he came and he shared that ministry with us. We had another $4,500 left over, and we wrote him a check for his church to help that. So you guys literally are helping to reach one of the most dark places, unevangelized places in America. You guys, so in May, you guys did that with what you're giving, with the cheerful giving, you know, and it's so cool. And some people might think, well, don't tell them there's extra money because then you'll stop giving. Well, if that's why you're giving, stop giving, okay? We give because God wants us to give, because God asked us to give, because it's like, God, here, thank you for this extra that I have. And even if it's not extra, if I sow sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly. If I sow generously, and that's what you guys do, you sow generously. Well, we had a meeting last week, okay, and the June thing. And duh, imagine this, we had money left over, you know, and we had $10,000 left over, you know, there was $60,000 in the account. What are we going to do with it? God didn't give us money for ourselves. And so the elders chose to bless a couple other people with it. And one thing, we wrote a check to $5,000 to CMTS, okay? And a lot of those guys come here to church. They do an amazing work. Christian Missionary and Technical Service and stuff all over the world. Andy Merrick teaches once in a while. You know, Andy and Nancy and some of the guys they bring. We wrote out a check to them with $5,000, and we still had $5,000 left over. And guess what just happened? Remember ICCI, the mission to India, and Pastor Brito comes here? And a lot of you guys know Pastor Brito, and some of you guys don't understand his accent and stuff, but I'm fluent in Indian. So anyway, but he comes here and he shares. He was just captured in a park and taken and interrogated for, what is it, 3 weeks? 3 days? 3 weeks? 3 full weeks he was interrogated for sharing Jesus Christ in India, from being part of the thing. And he's healthy and he's okay. He's been released. But they wrote with some other needs in their ministry, and so we sent another $5,000 to ICCI. And that's just, it's like when I read this passage, I have never before been in a place where I could read that passage. They're all in one heart and mind, and no one claimed any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything they had, and that no one was in need. And I'm not talking about there's some personal things within the congregation that we're helping people with too. But I just want to thank you, and I want to thank God for that you guys have like an open hands, okay? And it's funny, I don't think it's any one big giver in this church, okay? If it is, I'd like to meet you and thank you in person, okay? But it's just everybody kind of pitches in, and every month God just gives us more and more and more. And I don't even understand that. I don't even see how it works. I don't see how this congregation, in the working class, blue collar, for the most part, people in Pine Grove, how we can have more than we need, but God just gives more than we need. You know, we promised to give 10% towards missions from the beginning of the church. Well, that's up to 13% now, because there's too many people from us going to the mission field. We keep raising that and raising that and raising that. So on top of that, you're giving that. On top of that, we're putting 10% out of every offering aside to plant a church north. And we're starting to look for a pastor to take a church north. And when we do, we'll be able to support a church going up north, and God just keeps blessing him. I've never been a part of this. I'm like, that's why I was so excited to get to it. You know, I've never been a part of a church like that. I really thank God for you guys and for the open-handedness and not holding tight to what God's doing through you guys. And it just goes to, you know, the being out of debt theory from, I keep looking at you when I think of financial peace, all right, because these guys have taught financial peace classes, and a lot of you guys have taken them. And see, isn't that the end result of financial peace? You know, what's the guy's name? Not Larry Burkett. Dave Ramsey, okay? The idea is the sooner you get out of debt, okay, but you're still giving through that whole time, which doesn't make sense. But at the same time, God blesses you, and you're becoming out of debt. And the idea about getting out of debt is now I'm even more free. Remember you ever said, I wish I could give this, and I wish I could do more. Stephen and Allie Merrick, who were just up last week, they only need $95 a month more, you know? God has just taken them from like 70, 75% up to almost 95% of their income. And a lot of you guys are involved in that. You still have 8 more people to work with. They're going to be going to the mission field. They're going to be going to Mexico to unreached people groups in a month, because we are part of the ministry, and so are some other churches. And it's just so cool to see what you can do as you obey God, as you obey God. And I just am thrilled that this is a part of the church, that I don't have to say this and think, boy, I wish we were a church like that, you know. Now, I'm not tooting our own horn. I am to you, okay? I'm not tooting your own horn. That kind of sounds dumb. Okay. But I should get one. I should have brought one up this morning. I got an air horn over my drawer. I should run over and get it. I'd scare the second service. All right. But I just really, this is not a message to convict. This is a message to keep going. Keep going. Keep doing. Keep learning what God is saying. God is at work in this world. And this world is getting darker and darker. And by that I mean more antichrist. More antichrist. Not anti-God, more antichrist. And I see you guys rising to occasion that I can't even picture. And every once in a while I'll share this with someone else or another church, and they just can't believe what God's doing. Especially people from outside of Pine Grove think, that's a dinky little town. Who lives there, you know? Oh, man. Some really godly people live in this place and go to this church and some other churches in our area. And I just really want to thank you guys. It's kind of like when I read this, I was proud. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions as their own. They shared everything they had with great power. The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to everyone that has need. I was going to give you their example of that, but I'm out of time, so I'm not going to keep you for another 15 minutes. I can go on, but I'm not going to. I just really want to thank you for being that part of a church. We see, if you read ahead, you'll see some examples of that. And you also see some negative examples of that, because their church did have some negative. It's not a perfect church, okay? A lot of times we think the early church was a perfect church. We emulate it and try to copy it. It wasn't a perfect church. But I don't suspect this is a perfect church, because I know me and I know my wife especially, all right? But I can say that because she's speaking to the senior high retreat. Don't be telling her I said that. That'll spoil my birthday tomorrow. No, she's amazing. But I know myself. But that's what God's gracious. That's what's so cool about God. God redeems. He takes the junk in my life, and even the bad things that happened to me, even the junk that's happened in the past and the junk that happens in your life, God redeems that. God buys you back, and He makes something amazing out of you and out of your life. And I'm just so thankful to be part of this church. So this is kind of like a bragging session, and I'm so thankful to be part of that. Please keep up. Don't give because you have to, all right? But just don't hold tightly to your stuff. When God says, let someone reach into your hand and take this, let them. Let them do it when God says it. When God says give, give. When God says don't give, don't give. But just be the kind of people that are available to God that can use. God, all that I am and all that I have belongs to you. It's not mine. That's cool. Thank you for being that kind of church. Thanks that I can be part of that kind of church. I love it. You're a huge encouragement to me. Lord Jesus, it's all because of you. Every one of us on our own would not give anything hardly. But because of what you did for us, we can be generous with our lives, with our words. We can be bold, not because of our wisdom, but because of your Spirit in us. God, use us to make a difference in this world. I pray that this morning was an encouragement to us, that those who sow sparingly reap sparingly, but those who sow generously when it doesn't make sense, how in the world can our church give like that? But you just keep using us to give and to bless people around the world and in our country. It is so cool to be a part of a church that can bless other people that aren't just us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the example of these people. I pray that we might remember our purpose here is to seek and to save lost people. And when we do that, we can remain together as a church, because all the little petty things pale in comparison to the message of Christ and the need to share that. All I am, all I have, belong to you. And when you asked me to give, when you asked me to go, when you asked me to speak, God, I want to do that. Use us. Continue to use us. You're an amazing God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.